It is, man, just awesome to sing those songs, and I am thankful for a church that continues to learn and grow in worship, and that we can together learn these songs and together lift the name of the Lord. He is worthy of it, and I'm thankful that that you are willing to learn with us and grow with us in that, and trust that worship is a part of your life. Man, I'm thankful. I think back 21 years ago, I married my wife, and I'm thankful because she introduced me. I grew up, like worship was like, yeah, we need to do that. But man, in my home, I'm thankful that my wife has just introduced a spirit of worship continually. And I remember when I first met her grandma was a big worshiper, and always singing, always humming, always just wanting to worship the Lord. And it's wonderful to be around those kind of people. And it's wonderful that as a church, we are blessed through her talent and her willingness to use her talent as a part of our direction of our music and introducing those songs. If you relied upon me to introduce songs, we would be singing the same 27 hymns that I knew growing up, but I'm thankful that these wonderful musicians use their talents and abilities to lead us and guide us, and especially thank you, Blandy, for willing to put those talents to the Lord's work. And ties into where we're going to be at this morning. Last week, we dealt with, man, just a really unique situation with Rahab, and man, we were in the Old Testament, and just seeing grace and God's work and how God uses us in spite of maybe the luck baggage that we bring and all the things, and just looking at how amazing it was, that step of faith, how God honored that and what God did with that, and receiving what we did not deserve, and how that has been a part of the biblical narrative from the Old Testament to the New, from before and leading to the cross, and from the cross leading to us in the age of the church. And so that was wonderful. Trust that if you were here, you remember it. If you weren't, trust you'll go back and watch the video footage of it, and or the sound of it, or whatever the case may be. But today, I'd like us to go to Corinthians. Corinthians, of 1 Corinthians, the first letter to the church at Corinth. And as I mentioned before, the majority of the New Testament is written by authors directed to a church at a certain city, and especially in many of the books of Paul. And so this is one of the books of Paul. He writes it at a time where he has spent several years in a place, the church of Ephesus, discipling, teaching, learn, helping to grow, for the church to learn and grow in the ways of the Lord. And while he's there, he's writing letters to other churches that he has established, to other groups of believers that he has left along his journeys. And so he's there. Word has reached him of some errors, some problems, and some challenges at the church in Corinth. And so he writes this first of two letters that we know of. Remember that not every single time that Paul put pen to paper was the inspired word of God. But God did inspire, and as you study scripture, as you study how we came about with the canonical 66 books of the Bible, we realize that God, through his spirit, moved in ordinary flesh and bone men like you and me, and he used them and inspired them to put on paper God's mind and God's thought for the age, for that time period. And now for the age of mankind, we have the 66 books of the Bible. This is not every thought that God has. This is not every work that God has worked. In fact, the New Testament tells us in the Gospels that even the works of Jesus, if they were to have been recorded, the books of the world, John says, would not be enough to contain all the things that Jesus did, much less what the God of eternity has done. And so we have here the mind of God and the heart of God for our time and for what our knowledge can comprehend and understand. There are things beyond our comprehension, known as the mysteries of God. And sometimes you may ask, what did God do in eternity past? I do not know. We don't have that written down. And so we know that time came into existence. We know that creation came into existence. God made Adam and Eve. God made the world that exists today. And through it, here we are several thousands of years later, you and I in existence. And here is what God wants us to know of him. He has a plan and a purpose for your life and for my life. Thank you. Thank you for that. He does. Yes. Whether or not Brother Larry and me believe it or not, and that's it, but he does, all right? I don't know if you've lost already, but he has a plan and purpose for your life. There's a reason why you're here. By being here, I mean like alive. And then there's a reason why you're in this church. It's a reason why you're in the church. And here, as Paul writes, many of his writings are to believers, that he lets them know that they are part of the church. The church being the universal church, the big C church is what I call it. The church meaning that those believers that there this past week or so were living and breathing and believing in the Jesus who died on the cross for their sins in Syria and who today no longer have life in them because jihadists went in and killed them and massacred them. Those that were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that is still part of the church. They're not part of Bethany Baptist Church in Palmview, Texas, but they're part of the Big C church, and therefore we are all part of the church. But then Paul is also clarifying here in the letter to Corinthians about the little C church. This is now a group of believers gathered together in a place together, endeavoring the Christian life to live out, to do, to follow the patterns, the administrations that God has given to the local body of believers. And so God, through his Spirit, moves in Paul to write and to correct errors, to help them where they were making mistakes, like having lots of fornication and sexual sin in their life, like doing all kinds of horrible things. And yet God lovingly brings them back and says, hey, that you cannot do. Paul says, look, this is not right before the eyes of the Lord. Correct this. And we reach to the later chapters of this letter. We call them chapters. Again, in the original letter, when Paul wrote, he didn't put number 12, sentence number 8. No, he didn't do that. He just wrote, right? Several hundreds of years later, we broke it down into verses and chapters. That was all man-made. I believe there is inspiration behind it. I believe there's purpose behind it. But understand that this was just a flowing letter in the original way that it was written. Paul and all the rest of the biblical authors, of the 40 authors that more or less that compiled the Bible, they did not sit there and put chapter 10, chapter 12, Psalm 97. They didn't do that, right? And so it wasn't like that. So here we are arriving in what we call chapter 12. And so if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the moments that we have together. Man, I've had an amazing week. Thankful for the week that I had. My kids were on spring break, which means we did a lot of housework. No, I'm just kidding. It means that we tried to do a couple different things and enjoyed our week. I was up in Austin for a few days doing some political stuff because we wanted to do that. And then we went fishing one day, caught two fish. No, we caught lots of fish, but we were only able to keep two fish. But it was just a good week and enjoyed it. Those of you that are going into spring break, enjoy it. Hope you enjoyed the time. Moms and dads are like, no, I got to have all my kids home. Now what am I going to do? I understand. I understand how it is. Hopeful it'll be a good week regardless. But this week, as I prepared this message, I feel like it was something that would be a help to us where we're at as a church. And I think any preacher's desire should be coming from that reality. You look at what God is showing you and revealing in your own life. You look at what you hope can be a benefit and a help to the people, the hearers, both locally, and now we have through the avenue of social media and the rest of the stuff, YouTube, that people around the world can hear it. Wonderful. But I trust that this will be an encouragement to you where you're at. And we are all at a different place in our spiritual journey. Praise the Lord. Last week, two people were able to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ or confirm that faith and trust to make sure that they were redeemed and children of God. And so therefore, they would be in week number one of their spiritual journey. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're in week number one. Maybe you're in year number one. Maybe you're in decade number one. I don't know. But wherever you're at, I do believe that what we're going to study this morning, If you're willing to open your heart and you're willing to let God speak to you, he can show you something that can be a benefit and a blessing to your life. and that can open our eyes to some reality. I believe that the heart of Paul as he wrote this was the heart of Paul in so many of his letters, wanting to be a help to believers, wanting to be a help to every person that would put their eyes on this paper. And so therefore, this morning I come at it with the same desire. That as we study God's word, this is not Pastor John's words. Mine are very, very falling short of having anything helpful to give you. But God's word has something great to give you. And God's word can be a blessing to your life. And God's eternal word, as you give it room in your life, as you give it room in your marriage, as you give it room in your family, I can tell you this very easy truth, that as we give room to God's word, it will change our spirit. It will change our life. It will change the way we live and walk and breathe. It changes everything about us. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul, with his heart for the church, he deals with something known as spiritual gifts. And though we could come at this from a theological depth of understanding the unveiling of the gifts, that is not my purpose nor the direction that I'm going with the message this morning. Purpose and direction of what I'm going with this morning, I've titled the message, Help Each Other. Help each other. I believe that the heart of what Paul was saying at a very superficial level was just the need for the church people to help each other. And you say, Pastor John, man, I believe in that. That is so important. It is crucial. I'm with you. Amen. We need that. We need to help each other. You know, I think it's easy to fall into a rut of judging each other, but that I don't find that in Scripture as being helpful nor the part of the Christian life. What I do find is the helping of each other time and time and time again throughout the New Testament comes to us. It leaves the judging and the dissecting of the heart to God and the Spirit, but it allows believers to help one another. It encourages, in fact, at some point, I believe it mandates it. And so I want us to read just a few verses, pray and ask for God's help, and then in the moments that we have together, I'd just like to leave a few thoughts in your heart and in your mind this morning. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 1. I'm reading once again out of the New Living Translation. If you have a different version, don't worry about it. Whatever is there is good for you. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives. These are the gifts. The talents, the gifts, excuse me, that the Spirit gives. I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Truth does not come from void, from emptiness. Truth does not come from sitting on top of a mountain and just isolating yourself in nature. Naturalism does not bring about truth. Humanism does not bring about truth. One human cannot produce truth to another human. Where does truth come from? Where does the distinction of knowing who Jesus is, who it was that was the Lamb of God on the cross, who it was that was the creator of the universe in Genesis, that does not come by osmosis. It does not come by looking up at the stars nor at the red moon that appeared just a few nights ago. No, where truth comes from is from the Word of God. So therefore, if we are without the word, if we don't know the word, then we cannot expect to know truth. We cannot expect to be guided by truth. So here Paul encourages the reality that even in the discovering of the gifts, the spiritual gifts, which we will talk about here in a few seconds, that does not come about separate and apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God. I've said this equation for decades now. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, transforms us to be more like the Son of God. That equation is true throughout history. It's true today in 2025. It'll be true in 2035. It'll be true in 2095. It will be truth. That is the equation God uses. So if you are here and you say, well, I've got the Spirit of God, but I'm going to ignore the Word of God, it's not going to work. It's not going to produce the image of the Son of God implanted stamped onto your life. If you say, I have the word of God, but I am not a child of God, therefore I do not have the spirit of God, you're never going to be a product made in the image of God. And so we must have that. And here Paul says, look, it's this Holy Spirit that gives that distinction, that gives the clarity in regards to this thing. Then verse number 4 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. And verse number 7 before we pray, a spiritual gift is given to each other, to each of us, so we can help each other. Look at that. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Is there anybody excluded in the each of us? So we can help each other. If you are here or listening to my voice and you're a child of God and the Spirit of God lives inside of you because you've been redeemed of placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then this very morning, you have been given a gift that can be a help. A help. So this morning, as we titled the message, Help Each Other, I want us to reflect on 1 Corinthians 12:7. The reality that in God's perspective, there are no bench warmers. There are not players and non-players. There's not a practice squad and a real squad. There's not, well, I'm not a leader at the church. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. No, you see, here what we find is that the Bible tells us that God has given every single person that is a child of God, each of us, so that we can help each other. So this morning, as we sit in Bethany Baptist Church in Palmview, Texas, I want you to ask yourself that question. Who am I helping? What has God given me? And who am I helping? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the moments that we have together. I pray, Lord, that you would just guide our thoughts and our minds to your word, to your truth. I pray, Lord, that you would just allow this truth to dwell in us, to be planted in our hearts in fertile soil, and to bring forth fruit in its time. May you work in our lives. Thank you for your grace, your goodness, your mercy, of which we are none of us deserving of. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We see a gift discovered. A gift discovered in those first few verses, we find that these things are true, that the Bible will lay out for us the reality that there are gifts given to every believer. There is a gift or there is multiple gifts. The Bible will tell us in many different passages of which we don't have time to look here, but the Bible will tell us that the equipping of the gift, the giving of the gift may look differently. And every person may have a different gift. There are differing gifts. There are multiple layers of gifts, but the reality is that a gift is discovered. A gift is discovered because it has been given. It has been given to every single person. The Bible says in verse number 8, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. And while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. This morning, dear fellow Christian, I want to encourage you. See, I don't see here it break down by ages. I don't see here that it says a Christian that is 8 years old doesn't need to worry about his gift until he's 15 or until he's 25. I don't see here where the Bible gives room to say, well, introverts, your gift is not as important as extroverts. Extroverts, you must have. No, I don't see that. Don't see it broken down that way. What I do see is that as Paul, who has this heart for the local church in Corinth, in the city of Corinth, he's telling them, look, as you're trying to live out, as you're trying to develop this Christian life, I want you to understand that you are a help to each other, that you can be and you should be. And the way in which you can be and should be is by discovering your gift. Then he goes on to describe the gifts. We don't have time, and this is much more for a longer series, but you can go into the different gifts. And there has been much written and much said about the differing gifts. There are many tests that you can take to try and understand your gift, try and discern what your gift is. All of that's good, and I hope that as a church we continue to do that. We've done that in the past. I hope in the future we continue to do that. My purpose this morning is to understand that a gift should be discovered. The gifts are described in the Word of God. They're shown there what they are, and they are very diverse. Very diverse. They're very different. Yet the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God, the Spirit who distributes all these gifts, in verse number 11 it says, he alone decides which gift each person should have. You ever been that place as a Christian where you're like, man, why am I not like that person? Why can't I have that? Why can't I be like that? I believe the enemy is an expert at putting those kind of ideas and thoughts in our minds. I believe that God gives us differing gifts for differing reasons. And I believe that as Christians, we should be endeavoring to discover. We should be endeavoring to understand that this is an important part of the Christian life. Verses 12 and on begin to really unveil something that I think is crucial this morning. Look what it says. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. In another book of the Bible, we'll learn about unity and the importance of unity in the body of Christ. But here, he's talking in the context of the reality that we are all different and we have differing gifts. There are some who are wonderful at standing behind a pulpit and being able to preach the Word of God. There are some that are wonderful at coming alongside and caring and having mercy on somebody and having compassion. There are others that are wonderful at putting feet to the body of Christ, and they're there to serve and they're there to be active in so many other ways. And each of these gifts are described and rolled out. They are meant to be discovered by the believer, and then they're meant to be put into action in the body of Christ. We have all been baptized into one body and one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. I think one of the biggest jobs that the devil has is division. Division among the body of Christ is one of his biggest desires, because the more divided Christians are, the less effective they are at accomplishing what God wants them to accomplish as a whole. And therefore, I believe that throughout the New Testament, time and time again, we find that the apostles, the disciples are calling for unity in the church. Why? Because all since the beginning of the establishment of the church, the devil has had the purpose of causing division. And as you look across the spectrum of Christianity today, you will find lots of division. I trust that as a church here locally, that we will be fighting to enact and follow what God says in his word. To follow his word and saying, look, we are one body, one Spirit, and we should be pursuing these gifts. We should be discovering the gift that God has in us, and then that we should be looking to put it to use in the body of Christ. It will look differently in every person. It will act differently in every person, but every person has a responsibility. Every person has a privilege of bringing that gift to the body to help each other. It says in verse number 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that not make it any less part of the body? If the whole body was an eye, how would it hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would it smell anything? But our bodies have many parts. And here's something that I don't want you to miss. I don't want you to miss that God says in his word that he's given the gifts to help each other. And then I don't want you to miss this next part that it says right here. It says in the second part of the verse right there, read it with me, and God, let's start with it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And God has put each part just where he wants. Now, Pastor John, are you sure that that's talking about the hand and the ear and the nose, that he's right where he wants? Maybe. Pastor John, does that go in the face of today's transgender ideology? I believe so, entirely. God put the parts right where he wants them. But you know what? I think the deeper meaning here, if we understand where Paul's writing from in the heart, is to say this. Dear friend, this morning, I believe that you're not here by accident. I believe that God didn't save you just because for you to be somebody to drive 20 minutes from your house, 1 hour a Sunday, and come and spend an hour listening to Pastor John say a few words and the worship team to give you a worship show. No, I believe this is much more important and greater than that. I believe that as Christians, we have been placed here by God with a purpose, with a plan, just like you have been created and you've been given life for a purpose and for a plan. You have been saved and redeemed and you have been called and set apart by the God of heaven so that you have been placed here in this local body of believers, in the bigger body of Christ for a purpose. You have a purpose. It has been distributed in a certain way for a certain reason. God placed you here for a reason. You know, God is the God of order and structure. Devil is an expert of chaos and destruction. God wants instruction. God wants order. The devil wants chaos and destruction. And this morning, I can't help but wonder, as we examine our life, is there more order and instruction in our life as a Christian, or is there more chaos, discombobulated? You're here one time, you're not the next time, you're here for a little bit, you do this, then you stop, then you do, then you don't. See, I believe that God has given us these gifts. He has discovered them. We are to discover them. He describes them. He lays them out. And then he distributes them. He distributes them not according to this person is special. I'm going to give him this gift. This person's less special, so I'm going to give him that gift. No. See, God gives every gift according to his purpose. And he's giving it to us the way he wants it. And he wants us to put it into action in the body of Christ so that we can be a help and a blessing to each other. And this morning, dear friend, I encourage you to examine your life, to look in the spiritual mirror and to say, hey, what is my spiritual gift and how am I using it? Where am I using it? Listen, I'm thankful that during my senior year at Clearwater Christian College, that I worked for 9 months at Schlotzky's making sandwiches. It was wonderful. It's great because I had all access to free food, which in college is wonderful. But you know what? The Bible doesn't call me to flesh out my gift in Schlotzky's. Amen? He doesn't call me to flesh out my gift on the basketball court. Pastor John, should I not play basketball? You need to play basketball, yes. Especially for Macedonia Christian Academy, if you have a lot of talent. But where God calls us to do this is within the context of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is broken down into local groups of believers that he calls the church. And within that context, God says, I've given you a gift. I've equipped you with a special gift. And you can spend months diving into what those gifts are and how they fleshed out. But regardless of that side of the equation, the reality is that every person has been, every Christian has been given a gift. And we have been called to use that gift inside of the church. And God placed us where he wants us. And I even believe, it's hard to say this, you know, I even believe that sometimes God moves us because he needs us somewhere else sometimes. I believe there are people that were here between 1987 and 1993 because God wanted them to be a blessing to Iglesia Bautista Oremex, was that what we were called back in that time. And then he moved them on because his gifting was going to be fleshed out, or her gifting was going to be fleshed out in another local body of believers. But all the time, it was always within the context of the church. So this morning, my heart is just twofold. Number one, that as believers, that we stop and consider, what gifting has God given me? What gifting has God given me? Number two, how am I using it? How am I using it? If you look back on your life in the last month and all you've done has been come to church, wonderful. That's a plus. Not come to church, okay, that's a minus. You need to be here. Forsake not the assemblies of yourself. But then if all that time, basically there was a warmer seat for an hour than there was an hour before when it was just the air conditioned and the empty seat that was here, if that was all that you brought to the local body of believers, I think you and I should take a second look at that and say, I'm not too sure that that's what I should be doing. Why? Because God has given us gifts. He's given us gifts, and he's distributed them. And he, as he distributed them, he said, look, I'm going to place you where I want you. God has put each part just where he wants it. Now he wants us to help each other with it. Verse 19, how strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. You know that gray matter that's between your ears? You're like, oh, that doesn't look important. Yeah, take it out. That little mechanism that's about the size of your fist, out of an entire 6-foot frame, is very important. You may not be able to see it. It's not something that when you flex in the mirror in front of Gold's Gym mirror, right? It doesn't appear, but it's a very important part. If you don't take care of your heart, it looks weakest, but it's super important. See, just like in the physical body, there are parts there that we do not understand how important they are and the role that they play. Within the body of Christ, we don't all look the same. We don't all act the same. We all have differing gifts, but the Bible makes it clear to us that you are needed, that you are needed to help one another, that you are needed to help the body of Christ to go forward. And it is important. The parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the most honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Well, there's a lot there, but we won't unpack that right now. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. Can I tell you this one more time, dear Christian? I do not see in Scripture an isolated Christian life. I do not see in Scripture where it gives us the ability to live the Christian life over here in the little corner, in the little closet, in my little hut by myself. No, time and time again, we find that in Scripture, the Christian life is meant to be lived out in community. And this community is known as the church. And the church is supposed to be active and engaged, not only with the world that is lost and blind and in need of the gospel, but we should be active and engaged with one another, fortifying one another, encouraging one another, coming alongside in the ministry of support, in the ministry of care, in the ministry of compassion, using the gifts and in the equipping that God has given us such that the the church, the body of Christ, is better for it because of what you and I bring to the table. Not because we're special, not because I'm special, but because God gave me a gift for the reason of using it and putting it into action. You know why I think there's a lot of Christians that right now are just cold? It's because if you're not doing what God has equipped you and given you the gifting to do, it's purposeless. The more introspective, the more self-seeking, self-guiding, self-actualization that this generation pushes forward and we bring it into the Christianity that we live out, the further we are from the purpose that God has for us, and the less fulfilled we're going to be. You want to be fulfilled as a person and as a Christian? Exercise your gift, develop your gift, and put it into action. And man, you'll feel fulfilled. You will feel fulfilled like at no other time. When you realize that God placed you here and he saved you, he died on that cross for the purpose of saving your soul. Yes. For the purpose of when you take your last breath on this earth, for you to go to heaven. Yes. Then why doesn't he just do that the moment you're saved? Why? Because of 1 Corinthians 12. Because during the time that you and I have here, which we don't know what it is, for a wonderful young lady named Rebecca Fernandez, it was 21 years of age. For a wonderful man, Mark Moreno, it was 62 years or 61 years, something like that. I don't know. I don't know how long Pastor John's going to live. I know it's going to be more than 44 because I'm there now. But I don't know how much longer. But the time that we have between the time that we're saved and the time that God takes us home, we're left here to be part of the local body of believers. And we're left here with gifts that God has equipped every single Christian with certain differing gifts so that we can flesh them out and put them into action, so that we can live them out in community, so that we can take these gifts, differing, different, not unique, not the same, step and repeat, step and repeat. No, it's everybody is different. God created you different on purpose. And as a Christian, you have a differing way of approaching all that you do, even amongst the gifts. You have mercy and he has mercy. He has mercy towards a Christian that's fallen. He has mercy towards an unbeliever that needs the gospel. That's okay, but we still both have mercy. Wonderful. But I can tell you this day, that God has equipped you with something that as you come to church, it is not for the purpose of coming and sitting in that seat and sitting there and looking and listening and then getting up and walking out and getting your coffee on the way out the door. No, it is meant for you to live out the Christian life in that local community of body of believers, to put into action what God has equipped you and where he has placed you, and that you can be a help to each other. Many of our Winter Texan friends here might be here for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and then they're up at another church for 4 or 5 months. And I think God's like, wonderful. I'm going to equip you to be a blessing here in this place, in this local body of believers for this season. And you're going to be a blessing over here for this local body of believers for this season. I believe, like I mentioned earlier, that there are people that are here for 5, 10 years. And they're a blessing to this local body of believers for 5 or 10 years. And then God takes them over here for another 5 or 10 years. I believe that God makes it clear to us that he is the one that has put us where he wants us. And then he puts us for the purpose of developing and discovering that gift. And then for us to help each other with the gifts that he has given us. Verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church: the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. This is what God tells us. I'm giving you what you need to be a help to your local body of believers. In the context of the local church, in the context of the universal church, all of that is important, and we'll finish with this. But he says, that is the cake and the icing and the cherry on top. He goes into it in chapter number 13, which we don't have time for. What is chapter number 13? He says, but above all, love. None of it will matter if there's not love. In the modern day, we've heard the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You want to be a help to somebody else in church? Love on them. You say, but Brother John, they're really, really wrong in what they're doing. Yeah. Somebody with the gift of administration, somebody with the gift of teaching will come alongside them and teach them the right way to do that. They're living in sin. They're not married. Okay, well, they need to get married, so we're going to teach them the right way. But you don't, it's not your job to ostracize. It's not your job to sit here and condemn. Your job is to come along and flesh out the gift that you have been given, that you've been distributed, and then the gift goes from being discovered to being distributed to being displayed. And that display comes through the avenue of love. As the Spirit of God works in us, as it shapes us and molds us within the body of Christ, as it distributes different ears and noses and eyes and all the differing parts of the body, feet and hands and head, it comes together as a unified body, one spirit, unified for the purpose that God would be glorified, His kingdom expanded, and helping each other. And as we do that, we find purpose, we find meaning, we accomplish the kingdom of God together, the devil's defeated, the traps of the enemy are defeated, those that are broken and down are lifted up. If you look throughout the New Testament, that's what you see success looks like, time and time again. The world describes success, power. When I was up in Austin for that meeting or hearing that I was at on Tuesday, I was reminded, because I sat in that room for 12 and a half hours, I was reminded of just the power of man, position. Politics is all about posturing, showing my importance. Most of them were lawyers, and showing my smarts. See, but when we come at it through the Christian lens, it's a completely different approach. It's not success. Oh, I hope that somebody here eventually becomes a state rep, a congressman, a senator, president. Josiah, my 13-year-old, wants to be president. Vote for Josiah. I hope so. We need those kind of godly people in those positions. But understand that success through the lens of God doesn't come from having more cars or more toys or more houses or more luxuries. It doesn't come from accumulating more vacations. Success through the eyes of God is I've saved you, I've redeemed you, I've given you a gift. That gift is going to be developed inside of you. It's going to be discovered. And then it's going to be implemented, displayed in the church for the world to see, to help other Christians, to encourage other Christians so that the work of God can go forward. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your truth this evening, this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in every life, including my own. Father, I know that in our day-to-day Christian life, it's so easy to get lost along the journey. So easy to complicate this matter of the Christian life. So easy to confuse this matter of the Christian life. And we want it to become something that is of our own making, of our own convenience. But Father, you have given us the manual, your word. You've saved us and given us your Spirit so that we can take your Spirit to the manual. We can receive your truth, and then we can go out and live your truth in your church, in our community that you have placed us. Perhaps this morning you'd say, Pastor John, there's aspects of my life as a Christian that either I have not discovered my gift, and that is where I need to begin this morning. It's just simply making a simple request to the Lord to say, God, would you help me to open my heart and my eyes to the reality that there's a gifting in my life that I have yet to discover, and I need to discover it more. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? I'd like to know that you're just on the discovery journey today. You're saying, I need to discover that more. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not 100% sure yet what my gifting is. I want to discover it more. Okay, fantastic. Say, Pastor John, I am on the next chapter. I have discovered my gift, but boy, has it not been displayed in my life like it should lately. Man, I know I can encourage others. I know I can be merciful. I know I can teach. I know I can come alongside and share the good news of the gospel, but boy, have I not been doing that. And this morning, God has spoken to you just about the reality of needing to display that and put that into work in your life. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you this morning. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Well, I want to encourage every one of us this day to take a moment and to think about and ponder that reality and then to put it into action. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I do not know what my friends are going through in this auditorium today, but I do know this, that the answer is in your word. It's in your spirit. It's in our relationship with you. Yesterday's problems are solved by today's faith in you. Yesterday's trials and tribulations lead us to a deeper understanding of your word and the work of your spirit in our lives. And I pray, Father, that this day we would walk out of church on this beautiful Sunday morning with a deeper desire to grow in that truth, to discover that gift, to understand it's been distributed to us for a reason, for a purpose within the body of Christ, that we may display it, put it in action to help one another where you have placed us in the body of Christ. Guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand to your feet with me?